जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी, गौरनिताय 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 जय गौरनिताय, जय कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम, जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे, Prabhupada, 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 Jai, Jai, Prabhupada. Shrila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Tai Gaur Premanandi. Which is the book here? So many books. This one? Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Together. Narayanam Namaskritya Narang Chaiva Narottamam Deving Sarasvating Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityang Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam. I know we're in Canto 3. What is it? Yeah. 3:16:9. Yep. Okay. Wow, got some musical accompaniment. Okay, this is text 9. Yeshang brimam yaham akanda vaikunta yoga. Maya vibhutir amalangri raja kiritai. Viprangstukona vishaheta yad aranamba aram namba. Sadhya punati sahachandra lalama lokan. Yeshang bibarm yaham akanda vikunta yoga. Maya vibhutir amalangri raja kiritai. Viprangstukona vishaheta yad aran nambaham. Sadhya punati sahachandra lalama lokan. Yeshang bibharmyaham akanda vaikunta yoga. Maya vibhutir amalangri raja kiritai. Viprangstukona vishaheta yad aran nambaha. Sadhya punati sahachandra lalama lokan. Shambhava, 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 tutti e rama l'angriera già che ritai. Vipram sukhana visaheta yadaranaramba. Sadhya punati sahachandra lalam lokan. Yesham vivartaham akhanda vikunta yoga. Maya vibhutir alangri raja kiritai. Vipramstutnautana vishahetaya dahang namba. Sadhya punati sahachanda ilama lokam. Yesham, of the brahmanas, bibharmi, I bear, aham, I, akanda, unbroken, vikunta, unobstructed, yogamaya, internal energy, vibhuti, opulence, amala, pure, angri, of the feet, raja, the dust, kiritai, on my helmet, vipran, the brahmanas. Two, then, kaha, who, na, not, vishaheta, carry, yat, of the Supreme Lord, arhana amba, which water which has washed the feet. Sadhya, at once, punati, sanctifies, saha, along with, Chandra the Lama, Lord Shiva, Lokan, the three worlds. Translation purport by Divine Grace of Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. I am the master of my unobstructed internal energy, and the water of the Ganges is the remnant left after my feet are washed. That water sanctifies the three worlds along with Lord Shiva, who bears it on his head. If I can take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava on my head, who will refuse to do the same? Please repeat. I am the master of my unobstructed internal energy, and the water of the Ganges is the remnants left after my feet are washed. The water sanctifies the three worlds along with Lord Shiva, who bears it on his head. If I can take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava on my head, Who will refuse to do the same? Anyone? No, okay. Purport. The difference between the internal and external energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that in the internal energy or in the spiritual world, all the opulences are undisturbed, whereas in the external or material energy, all the opulences are temporary manifestations. The Lord's supremacy is equal in both the spiritual and material worlds, but the spiritual world is called the kingdom of God, and the material world is called the kingdom of Maya. Maya refers to that which is not actually fact. The opulence of the material world is a reflection. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that this material world is just like a tree whose roots are up and branches down. This means that the material world is the shadow of the spiritual world. Real opulence is in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the predominating deity is the Lord himself, whereas in the material world, there are many lords. That is the difference between the internal and external energies. The Lord says that although he is the predominating factor of the internal energy, and although the material world is sanctified just by the water that has washed his feet, he has the greatest respect for the Brahmana and the Vaishnava. When the Lord himself offers so much respect to the Vaishnava and the Brahmana, how can anyone deny such respect to such personalities? Om Agyanate Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. So it's an amazing pastime of the Supreme Lord. It's all actually very scientifically presented by Krishna, by Srila Vyasadeva, and all the questions and answers by the sages, and narrating a story with so much meaning, and just to help us understand that the spiritual kingdom, Krishna is unlimited and is completely the master of everyone, and everyone is so happy and blissful in the spiritual world serving Krishna in a loving way. And Krishna is very reciprocal. It's not that he's just a master and the servants are serving, but it's out of love. And there's, although we see envy in this world and jealousy and different activity, fighting spirit, greed, lust, desire for sense gratification, everything's okay till we come to this material platform and we forget Krishna. And by forgetting Krishna, by wanting to be the enjoyer, Krishna's providing a facility for us in this material universe. Unlimited universes, unlimited facility. So here we're hearing how when Diti became pregnant by Kashyapa Muni, son of Lord Brahma, and due to the nature of the combination of Diti and Kashyapa, that Haranyaksha and Haranyakashipu were in the womb of Diti, And all this is mysteriously being carried out by the will of the Lord. And it's not that Krishna wants to see people suffer or create havoc in the world, because what is Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu going to do? They're going to create havoc where people, the demigods, the saintly personalities, what to speak of ordinary persons, are feeling great distress because the king, the leader, is not protecting them. Just like now, we're feeling great anxiety and great distress because their leaders are not showing, you know, good character, or are not protecting the citizens by giving them guidance as to what is the purpose and goal of life. Basically, people in this world who are devoid of Krishna consciousness are driven by greed, by sense gratification, lust, and these are prerequisites. Giving up this desire for sense gratification, desire to enjoy this world separately from the Lord. The Bhagavad Gita explains, my famous verse, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashochati Nakankshati Sama Sarveshu Bhutishu Mad Bhaktin Lapate Param, that the devotee is Prasanatma, he's always happy. And why is he happy? Because he's a servant of Krishna. He depends on Krishna. Krishna will make all arrangements, understanding that I'm eternal, that the body is temporary, and all the activities in this material world are simply a reflection of the spiritual world. So when the demigods, they became very perturbed because Hiranyakashipu, just by being in the womb of Diti, was causing big disturbance in the universe. And all the demigods, they came to approach Brahma to ask, so what's going on here? So Brahma told the story that your elder brothers, the four Kumaras, although they're like little children, 5 years old, they're like the first sons of Lord Brahma. And they're very spiritually advanced, so much so that they even rejected the offer of Lord Brahma, not the order of Lord Brahma, that they should propagate or become like Prajapatis and fill up the universe with living entities. They thought, no, thank you. We want to follow the spiritual path of renunciation. And although it's described that they've achieved liberation in the form of Brahman realization, and they went through all the six gates, they wandered throughout the whole material world. If you see, there are so many planets, lower planetary systems, earthly planets, heavenly planets, you know, Siddhaloka, Brahmaloka, very... But above and beyond the material universes is Vaikuntha Loka. And they were so empowered and such wonderful devotees of the Lord that they very easily crossed the six gates, and coming to the seventh gate, Jai and Vijay were stationed there. But I noticed it said that although they looked very, very beautiful with their blue arms, their forearm, like everyone in Vaikuntha, has the same appearance as the Supreme Lord, that they somehow, by the Lord's arrangement, obstructed the four Kumaras from entering Vaikuntha. And normally, the devotees of the Lord, namely the Kumaras, would have not have become angry and cursed them in that way. But the Lord, immediately understanding the tension between the doorkeepers, Jai and Vijay, and the four Kumaras, were very upset because they wanted to see the lotus feet of the Lord. They wanted to have the darshan of the Lord. They were very eager for that. So Krishna immediately came with his lotus feet there, and with Lakshmi Devi, the Supreme Goddess, because everyone in this material world is worshiping Lakshmi Devi because they all want Lakshmi to enjoy Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So Krishna, he came, and the devotees, the four Kumaras in particular, were smelling the tulsi, which was on the feet of the Lord. And immediately, although they were Brahman realized and very elevated in spiritual understanding, they came to the bhakti yoga, the path of bhakti, of devotion. And Krishna, out of love, for his devotees was apologizing to the Kumaras. He said, well, this is actually my fault because they're my representatives, the four Kumaras, or the giant Vijay. And for their misbehavior, whatever curse you've given them, I've already ordained that. That is okay. But he's in one way glorifying the qualities of Brahmanas and the qualities of Vaishnavas. He said, but make your curse in such a way that they will very quickly be freed of this disturbance and be back home, back in Vaikuntha with me. So to understand the behavior of the Supreme Lord is not possible with our mundane senses, with our mental speculation. There are many, many books of knowledge describing what to speak of the material world. There are many books of spiritual knowledge and guidance. But without the mercy of the spiritual master, just like every day we're praying to Srila Prabhupada, by your mercy, one can awaken his understanding and love of God, because by serving the representative of Krishna, the spiritual master, that's our first lesson in Bhagavad Gita, tadviri pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshyanti te gyanam gyanas tattva darshana. Approach a spiritual master, inquire submissively, and render service. And by this submissive mood and rendering of service, you're pleasing the spiritual master. And who is the spiritual master? The original spiritual master is Krishna, Balaram, Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Srila Prabhupada, and the whole Guru Parampara are representatives of Krishna. And so being Krishna's representative, and by satisfying him, it's like Krishna's very pleased, very happy. Krishna's giving all kinds of recognition, taking the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas in his head, and said, who would not do that? And so to become closer in our process of awakening our spiritual life, we have to develop the qualities, the godly qualities. Without developing the 26 Vaishnava qualities and avoiding offenses, it's not possible to actually enter into the spiritual kingdom, because we have this conditioning in this material world, wanting to enjoy, wanting to be happy. But the happiness in this world is simply a reflection. It's an illusion. And it's very difficult to have the mental strength or the resolute determination, this vyavasayatmika buddhi rekeha kuru nandana bahushaka yanantascha buddha yovyavasayanam. This determination, resolute determination, that I can see that all around me, people are growing old, they're getting diseased, and they're dying. Older people in particular say that it's not fun to get old. You know, the body is painful. One thinks, well, you know, you're surrendering to Krishna or in becoming a slave by serving the guru, but I want to be independent, I want to be free. But what kind of freedom do we have? This Daivi Hesha Gunamayi, the modes of material nature are acting on everyone. We were forced to take birth. You may think, well, I picked my mother and father and I took birth as a, you know, American or Indian or African or, you know, as a human being. So many mothers and fathers are there giving birth to unlimited living entities. And each and every living entity is originally a free spirit soul, eternal, ever, like Krishna is eternal, ever existing and undying. We are part of Krishna. We're also eternal, ever existing and undying. So there's no other opportunity but the human form of life. The demigods are looking forward to take birth in ISKCON so they can chant and dance. Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda give the instruction that Jari dako tare kaho Krishna upadesh, amara gai guru hoy tare desh, that it's everyone's duty in the human form of life. We may think this bharata bhumite hoila manushya janma jar janma sarthaka kori kara parupakar. Oh, it's the Indian's duty to spread this knowledge. But Krishna's not Indian. He's not African. He's not American. He's not Christian, Jew. He's the Supreme Lord, just like the sunshine is present, but it's on everyone's head. Krishna's Paramatma is in everyone's heart, and he's guiding each and every one of us according to our desires. And we're thinking, well, why does he allow us to do stupid things and commit sinful activities? It's based on our desire to enjoy. And until we turn on the light switch that illuminates our understanding and consciousness that I don't belong in this world, and my energy, my hand, my body, my mind, and my words should be engaged in the service of the Lord. And real happiness will come out just as when you're shining or polishing that silver or brass, and then the brilliance shines because all the dirt and the covering is off. So this process of bhakti yoga, there are many yoga systems people are following by controlling the breath, and many very nice gymnastics, good for the health. But Prabhupada said, don't waste your time simply on doing these things. Not that we don't stay healthy. Health is a priority. We should stay very healthy. But if you're chanting and dancing, we heard Mother Mukya's explanation of the kirtan that Tamal Krishna Maharaj led in the first opening in Mayapur, when all the devotees were jumping high in the air. I also experienced that in Washington, D.C. We were when Prabhupada, July 4th, during his Guru Puja, when Prabhupada put his hands up, everyone was jumping and dancing. So it's not that we're saying just be lazy and eat and sleep. Oh, yes, I know Krishna. Krishna is God. I am a servant. Yes. No. Prabhupada says, do as I am doing. So the four Kumaras, they were amazed how Krishna was taking the blame for his servants, restricting them from coming and taking this darshan of the lotus feet. But then the four Kumaras, after Krishna spoke and praised the qualities of Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, they were glorifying Krishna that you are the supreme controller, the supreme master of the material worlds, the spiritual world. And, you know, by following, you set the example that there has to be a leader in every society, Prabhupada said, in every corporation, every business, and there's some leader that gives guidance, Prabhupada said, and for this society, you accept me as your leader. So Krishna is the leader of everyone, and he sets a proper example, just like he came 5,000 years ago with Arjuna and fought. Well, he was participant in the Battle of Kurukshetra, because whenever there's a lack of religion and there's a predominant rise of irreligion, Krishna manifests himself millennium after millennium. Isn't it? In Satya Yuga he appeared, in Treta Yuga he appeared, in Dwapara Yuga he appeared. It's called Trayuga Avatar. But in Kali Yuga, it's Chana Avatar, covered avatar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Not, we shouldn't think that anything less. And Lord Nityananda is Balaram. So Krishna and Balaram personally come. Why? Because of love for the devotees. Because they actually want to give guidance and inspiration. Krishna spoke. The Bhagavad Gita told Arjuna, I spoke this to the sun god millions of years ago. So again and again, Krishna is coming because all the bewildered living entities in this world will continue with samsara, meaning birth, growth, development, producing some byproducts, dwindling and dying again and again and again. In the very, very, very short lifespan, maybe 100 years in this life, is nothing. It's just a great opportunity for us to try to utilize the human form of life for achieving. If you ask me, what is the goal of your life? Most people want to get rich. They want to be wealthy because they want to enjoy this body. They want to enjoy the bodies of their family members and their countrymen. And they want to have all the luxuries that Mother Goddess Lakshmi provides for them. but ultimately one may accumulate millions and billions of dollars and pay less taxes in America now because, you know, the rich and famous, they don't have to pay so much taxes. But you can have so much wealth and so many palaces and so many wonderful followers, but ultimately everything is taken away at the time of death, and death can come at any time, but not just as a scary, you know, threat, but Krishna, he's personally coming and showing by his example. As a cowherd boy, he didn't minimize his supreme authority, just even though Lord Brahma and Lord Indra may have wanted to question whether this little cowherd boy is my supreme lord. And the Leela goes on, Brahma Mohana Leela. It's a very wonderful. He's exhibiting the power of God by lifting Govardhan Hill. He's exhibiting the power of the Lord by expanding himself to dance in the Rasa Leela with unlimited gopis. He's exhibiting his powers, marrying 16,000 queens and providing in Dwarka palaces for each and every one of them. And he showed by his personal behavior, Narada Muni came to Dwarka to see what is Krishna doing in these palaces, rising early, worshiping himself, the Lord, and performing various other religious duties. Every civilized society follows some religious process. There are rituals and at least, you know, some recognition and offering of a supreme being. But the Krishna consciousness movement is not a sectarian society. It's not that we're promoting Hinduism or Judaism or Christianity or Muslims or, you know, many, many different kind of religions and traditions are there. The Native Americans have things, South Americans have, the Africans have. And everyone is in the human form of life who recognizes whether they worship the sun or the moon and the thunder. But here, besides wasting too much time on speculation and being misguided, Krishna is giving us Bhagavad Gita and instructing Arjuna that sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja ahang tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshayishyami masuchaha, that give up all your ideas of happiness and so-called following this system and that system, just surrender to me. And what does that mean? Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyaji mang namaskaru mam evasyasi satyate pratijane priyosami. Think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your prayers to me. Thus you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. So Srila Prabhupada established this International Society for Krishna Consciousness so that we can have an opportunity of molding our life to come and see the Lord daily. Prabhupada speaks about some very rich family in Kanpur, when all the members of the family, the grandmother was in charge, they all had to come to offer obeisances to the deity and see the deity in a temple. And if someone was late, the pujari would find them. And he said, if anyone doesn't come for the morning program, we shall find them. They must go sell one Krishna book. Is that okay? You have to go, that's your punishment. You have to go sell a Krishna, you have to go do Sankirtan. But it's not just a ritual, but if we have a little bit of taste, that we're going to come together and chant. First of all, what is the morning prayer? Sangsara Dava, Nadali Loka. We're praying to the Guru that I offer my respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master, because he is like an ocean. When there's a big fire, we've seen many fires in the past recent history of California and different places, massive fires, and all the animals are burning and all the houses are burning and people are running for their lives. So there's a constant fire of the burning of repeated birth and death. And the only way to put out the fire is not simply by the fire brigade, but the showers from above. The Lord empowers the Guru to carry this message of Godhead. Krishna's giving us the wonderful message of the Vedas, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And by hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, And by seeing in the deities and respecting the Vaishnavas and learning the etiquette of how to behave so that we can actually be acceptable in the Vaishnav community, Krishna's very happy by this. Because if we don't, if we think, oh, he's not very advanced anyway, you know, we don't have to show any respect to that one. What was it, Haridas Thakur, although he was in such an empowered personality of chanting the holy name, and he very humbly said, Advaitacharya, well, why you offer me the first plate of honor? You should offer it to some brahmana. And Advaitacharya said, no, by offering you the plate, I'm serving thousands of brahmanas. And even in Jagannath Puri, he would not come to see Lord Jagannath in the temple because at that time there was strictly, one had to be a Hindu still in order to come and take darshan of Lord Jagannath. So the Lord himself, Jagannath himself, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, would daily come to see Haridas Thakur. So Krishna is not impersonal. He's very personal. And when he says, Teshang Satati Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvikam, that if you're dedicated and devoted to the Lord, he'll give you the intelligence. Krishna's going to give you the intelligence. But we have to want it, isn't it? Yayata mang prapajate tangstataiva bhajamyaham. As we surrender to Krishna, Krishna's reciprocating. You know, we have so many desires. We have so many ideas of how to become happy or enjoy this life. But that's all very systematically set up. This chatur varnyang mayasrishtam guna karma vibhagasha. This varnashram dharma is established by Krishna himself, because without the brain operating, the hands and legs cannot function properly. And without the, whenever we're confronted with some danger, immediately you're protecting the head, protecting the body, the stump. So the higher, we're not saying higher or lower, but when society is organized in such a way that the brahmanas are giving guidance and instruction to the kshatriyas, who are very compassionate to their subordinates and giving protection and providing all the necessities so that people can live peacefully, and the Vaishyas, who are taking care of agriculture, protecting the cows and trade and producing so that there's food on the table and people can eat, and the Shudras are assisting all the other orders so that the society can function in a very systematic way. But unfortunately, just as it was described earlier, because Diti wanted to unite with Kashyapa, he said that by not following the regulations, there's proper time for everything, then those who are not following the Vedic process, and so many of these children are actually ghostly persons are taking birth in Kali Yuga, or those people of demonic nature. So this Garbhadan Sanskara, the systematic ritualistic process for producing good progeny, has to be followed. And the system of Krishna consciousness that's being presented by Srila Prabhupada is the essence of all the guru parampara. Sometimes we think, well, maybe we should, you know, be reading so many things. Yes, it's good to read so many things. But my personal conclusion, for its worth, by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and Chaitanya Charitamrita, what Prabhupada has given us in his purports and commentaries, he's extracted the essence from all the great acharyas and also the teachings of all the scripture, how we can surrender to Krishna, how we can mold our lives in such a way that we're not wasting time, that we're hearing Krishna's holy name, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're hearing Prabhupada's lectures. Prabhupada is speaking so beautifully. day, and there's unlimited mercy to be there. And by having a regulated time for ourselves to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and having service, something, you know, their devotees are making beautiful garlands, beautiful outfits for the deities, and so many festivals are there to glorify Krishna. Right now we're having a big festival in Govardhan for Sanatana Goswami. There's like a 4 or 5 days where hundreds and thousands of pilgrims are coming through and they're getting prasadam and books, Prabhupada's books. So book distribution is very important because the books are giving us guidance. Just by hearing and reading and sitting here, we're hearing about the importance of not wasting this valuable gift of the human form of life. So ultimately, the four Kumaras were very pleased by Krishna, and Krishna said, this is my whole plan, because where did that fighting spirit come from? You know, everyone has a fighting spirit, right? Somebody irritates you and you want to fight. We want to fight. So Krishna arranged. And who is Krishna going to fight with? There's no fighting going on in Vaikuntha, so he comes to the material world. And his devotees, he's engaged in that way. Kamsa, he's constantly thinking of Krishna, but in anger. And Shishupal and Dantavakra, what to speak of Ravana. So all these pastimes, they go from the highest extreme in so many varieties of relationships, ultimately boiling down to the fact of we have to surrender to the process of bhakti through the guru parampara, the spiritual master, mold our lives so that we can increase our hearing and chanting, and then the heart becomes cleansed. The akama sarva kamova moksha kamo daradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushamparam. Might have so many desires. We may desire liberation. We may have no desires. Doesn't matter. The important thing to understand that the medicine is the chanting of Krishna's holy name. And of all religious processes, all rituals and religious ceremonies, the conclusion is Kali Kalir Dharma Krishna Nam Sankirtan. That Krishna's names are full of potency. And simply by chanting and hearing the names, we may not understand the incredible power and magnitude of the holy name and how it's cleansing my mind, how it's cleansing the heart, how it's freeing my heart of the tight knot of desire for sense gratification in this world by the bodily identification, how to get free from the bodily identification. So this is the medicine. Take the holy name and chant enthusiastically, share it with others. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is very important to not waste a moment of our lives without remembering Krishna. And the chanting is the best process. Whether you're walking, working, moving about, one can chant the holy name. And when we're doing it in kirtan together, and the enthusiasm is there, the Lord is personally present. And we can have a life of eternal existence back in the spiritual world. You know, we hear no one falls from Vaikuntha, but at the same time, it says one who goes to Vaikuntha never returns. And then it says that by serving the Lord, by forgetting the Lord or misusing it, we fall down to this material world. So we can't logically or intellectually try to understand the intricacies of how and why we fell from the spiritual kingdom. But this particular canto discusses in many ways, says no one falls from Vaikuntha, but when you fell from Vaikuntha by the process of bhakti and devotion, you can reawaken your eternality, your spiritual life. So we shouldn't get too caught up with all the intricacies, but we should know that the real medicine is the Vedic the Krishna, he's given us the Vedas, and the body is like a boat, and the spiritual master is our captain, our guide, and the favorable winds are the Vedas. We're meant to actually go back home, back to the spiritual kingdom, and we can experience it in this life. Just keep chanting the holy name and pray to the devotees and serve the Vaishnavas. It says by serving the devotees, one gets unlimited benefit. The Lord is very happy by this. So in any festival, there's always service, prasadam, service to the brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. Of course, chanting and dancing is prerequisite. So I know we went many places, but this is showing the Lord is the master of the internal energy, and the Ganges is the blessing of the Lord from his lotus feet to help sanctify the whole universe. The whole Ganges goes throughout the universe, what to speak of here on earth. And also, he's showing us that by serving Vaishnavas and not offending them, the Lord is pleased. So these are some thoughts, ideas. Hare Krishna. So anyone have any questions, comments? We can discuss. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for a very beautiful, eloquent class.
Thank you.
There's part of, you mentioned so many beautiful points and so many themes, and part of it was this concept of, you know, Krishna's not Indian, and you know, religion is manifest in many ways. I'm curious, I have my own idea. As I was thinking about asking you this question, I was also, you know, coming up with some maybe potential answers myself, but I wanted to hear from you. Why did Krishna choose India? Or choose not just India, but one place to manifest all of the most supreme, most divine, fullest expansions of himself and the Vedas and his various incarnations? Why just one place instead of all around the earth? And I have an idea that I could think of, but...
Very good question. The Vedic culture, I mean, is very ancient and old, just like even if you see in different archaeological findings, they're finding many, many temples in many places like Cambodia and Vietnam, and it's described that many of the Kshatriyas, when they were being when Parasaram was exposing their non-compliance to Vedic culture, many of them went to Turkey and Greece. But my understanding is that many of the pastimes are throughout India and that whole area. The India used to be actually the whole Bharatvarsh was the whole earth at that time. And just like in any place where the governor or the president is, he has his headquarters, you know, at the, you know, Washington, D.C., or in different countries, they all have their capital or their headquarters. So it seems as Krishna, he appeared in Mathura and performed various other incarnations in other places throughout India and other sections beyond the India that we know now. So maybe someone else has another, or you could give me, what are your ideas?
Yeah, just one consideration that I had was perhaps for people like me and others who are stuck on the bodily concept as kind of a challenge or a filter to filter out the less advanced or sincere from that full knowledge. The same way that Krishna ended his eternal pastimes by being shot with an arrow, you know, so that the atheist would have something to kind of brush it off as.
Yes.
Maybe it's like, oh, you know, those who are maybe less sincere can just say, oh, I'm not Indian, like I don't, because we're on the bodily concept, we might think in that way. So that's one filter that Krishna has of like yoga or Mahamaya. But I'd love to hear other ideas, if I know Prabhu raised his hand.
That was good. I've heard that question asked to Prabhupada as well.
Oh, okay.
So Prabhu wants to say something. Thank you. Very nice. Well, get the microphone. I can't hear you.
Well, it's just to help out Air India, you know, so people buy tickets to go to India. No. Well, Krishna's pastimes aren't limited to Vrindavan. So what difference does it make in that sense? And, of course, on the other hand, there's unlimited reasons why he does things. And that spot is special because all the residents and everybody is focused on Krishna's pastimes.
He brought his Vrindavan from Goloka Vrindavan.
Yeah, it's a portal, you know.
I think Prabhu and then here, yes.
When I invite you in my house, you come. So people in that location were in a deep meditation and invited the Lord to appear. So he appeared there. In future, in Alachua, the devotee will be inviting, and Lord will appear here.
He did.
Already here, right here. So it is question of that who is inviting, who is pursuing in that. It happened to be the Aryans are over there. They invited the Lord, and they did severe austerity. It was not just like the Lord chose to come somebody's house. No, they invited. They did severe austerity, so many life. Prajanna Maharaj did severe austerities. Yeah, Nanda Maharaj's father. And then when we read their life, like, why Krishna would not come? Why not? That's the place people loves him. So he appeared there.
And the Lord appears in the heavenly planets and all the different planets and different species. And you want to say something? And but in our particular, you know, situation, sometimes people say, well, you know, Jerusalem is the place, and everyone has their holy sites. And there are many holy places, without doubt, as mentioned. But we've seen that Mathura Vrindavan is Krishna's choice of place to take birth and have his most intimate pastimes.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
Dwarka, also incredible. And what to speak of Jagannath Puri, Mayapur, South India, many places.
Yeah, I also wanted to add that, I remember the verse, Paritaranaya Sadunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam. So first of all, Krishna appears just to pacify them because they are longing to Krishna to come. That's why Krishna coming. So Krishna coming by strong desire of loving devotees. So that's why Krishna comes. I have another question. According to that verse, Leela about Kumaras, when I curse someone, is that considered an offense, or it's considered a sin? And also another way of point of view of this, when I curse someone, do I get some reactions for that?
Mm-hmm. Well, as we'll hear as it's coming along, after Krishna revealed that actually it was I created this whole situation. I wanted Jayan Vijay because I'm only going to be with my associates. And then the Kumaras felt very guilty. They thought, we've made a mistake, because when one is advancing in spiritual life, he recognizes his offenses. So in order to, cursing someone, you know, there is some reaction to that, of course. And they were also feeling, we've displeased the Lord. Now whatever, you know, Lord, if you want to curse, you know, retaliate against us also, you have every right to do that. So there are examples showing how the cursing is not something that's beneficial, but how we have to understand that Krishna, nothing moves without the sanction of Krishna. Even the whole Yadu dynasty was cursed by the brahmanas at a yajna, and these are the sons of Krishna, and they normally wouldn't do something so frivolous as to, in one sense, joke with the brahmanas about, you know, talking about the Yadu dynasty was, because Krishna wanted to wrap up his whole and bring all his associates back home, and some of them back to the heavenly planets. So the four Kumaras were instrumental in Krishna's orchestrating his Leela and pastimes, but it's very deep and intricate and very difficult to understand how the Lord is maneuvering these things. So the four Kumaras, although very exalted and wonderful Vaishnavas, normally would not have been angered. Maybe they could have adjusted that, but they became angry, and they saw their anger as a contamination, that they were still driven by passion, and they were asking the Lord to free them from the contamination whereby they cursed the innocent. But they also were considered to be at fault by the Lord too, that these assistants, because they forgot me and didn't understand my intention, they treated you improperly. So like I said, there's unlimited lessons to be learned, but the cursing is not a good idea, and there are reactions to it. I don't know if that's what you wanted to, is that your main point?
Well, but if I, in our life, if someone curses someone, although mm-hmm. in Kali Yuga there's no effect of this curse, but still when I offend someone, is that considered, I will get some reaction for that mm-hmm. or not?
Well, that's why we have to surrender to Krishna, and Krishna will protect us under all circumstances. Then we're beyond any curses or of being cursed and cursing. Because when we surrender, if we really surrender to Krishna, that means we're developing the godly qualities. And one who's surrendered, he's actually has perfect character and perfect behavior. He's not going to go cursing. And if we did something that upset someone, they cursed us, Krishna will protect us. So we have no choice in the matter. We have to surrender to Krishna. Good. Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of the opposite of this question that was just asked, and it's not necessarily something you spoke about in the class, but it's something I've been contemplating about. What is the purpose of praying for others? If Krishna already has his will, what is the actual effect of our praying for others besides just our own, like, feeling connected to Krishna and that person? Like, is there a tangible effect, and is there any shastra that tells us about this?
There is. When Prabhupada was ill in the early days, and he asked the devotees to pray to Krishna that our guru has not finished his work, let him stay on so he can continue. And then also towards the end of his leela, we were praying to the Lord. So yeah, it works both ways. It's beneficial for the one praying to the Lord, and at the same time we may think, well, I hate to use this example, but in my management, someone said, what's the use of having these meetings when he's going to do whatever he wants to do anyway? I'm the president. That's okay. But we need to go through that process by praying and praying. During the war in Germany, they were praying for their husbands and sons and fathers to come home. No one came home. So many became atheists. They thought, oh, God didn't hear our prayers. You know, what was the use of our prayers? They didn't work. But prayer is very powerful. It's beneficial for the person praying. And obviously, if a Vaishnava or exalted devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, he asked the Lord, even though my father created so much havoc and disturbance, please give him, release him and free him. Oh, no worries. That's done. So like I said, it's difficult to understand, but prayer is good. And I'm sure the prayers have effect. Thank you.
Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada yasya prasada nagatika topi. This not apply only to the spiritual master, but to any Vaishnava, that according to their capacity, their blessings are the only way we can make advancement. And according to anybody, just like you mentioned about the ladies in Germany, they prayed for their husbands to return. So So they had no capacity, they had no adhikar, the qualification to bring their husband. They didn't ask about, you know, starting the war or anything, Srila Prabhupada, I think, said like that. So without the prayers of the Vaishnavas, without the good wishes of the Vaishnavas, that's why we're serving Vaishnavas. This is the whole verse today, that without the Vaishnavas, you can't make any advancement. So we pray for each other, and this is our only hope, really.
Yes.
For advancement.
Actually, it is not up to Krishna. I mean, in one sense, he is omniscient, omnipresent, but he is not deciding to deliver the world. He said, there is 11.14.16, Nirapeksham munim shantam bhimatsara samadarshanam anubrajami aham nityam pujayatangriyanibhi. So Krishna said to Uddhava, I will deliver this world, the conditioned soul, by the foot dust of my devotee. So he already made that. It's not a question whether Krishna can or cannot, whether he will. His willingness that through the devotee, he will deliver the world. So therefore, like Prabhupada, like the sincere devotee, pure devotee, whoever they give the mercy, Krishna's mercy is there. In their hand, they are distributing.
That's why Krishna set the example that he also worshipped his superiors, he worshipped the brahmanas, yes. He set the proper example himself so that we would also follow.
Hare Krishna. If I may say something, if you don't say anything. I wanted to say something because you know you're the temple president in Vrindavan and we were there for a couple of months this year, right? And I had been to Vrindavan several times. The first time, I think, was 1981. But this time, I'm just expressing my feelings. I was a little bit bewildered because there's been so much change in Vrindavan in the last 50 years that, you know, here we want to have darshan of the deities, you know, okay, let's go and we can stand in front of the deities peacefully and pray. In Vrindavan, there's always this huge crowd in front of the deities. Hard to have a peaceful prayer with the deities there, and just the whole atmosphere of Vrindavan, there's so many people there now. Amazing, right? But
Krishna's amazing.
For me, it's amazing, but also a little bit bewildering. Where's that peacefulness that you can, you know, relate with Krishna when it's very crowded all of the time?
Well, during Kurukshetra war, there was no peacefulness, but there's still Krishna gave benedictions.
Yeah, but if you're the temple president, you know more than me what I'm talking about, right? You have any comments about that?
No. It's difficult to see through all the different person. Right now, as you said, there's many, many people coming, and it's very, very crowded. So this is, I'm sure, during Krishna's time in Dwaraka, during big, big festivals, it would be very. I mean, in one sense, it's a good thing that people are inclined to come to the holy dham. They may not have pure motives, or it might be more of a recreational part of their life to come to the holy dham. But we have to somehow see how we can always take shelter, whether we find a little corner here, there, anywhere. Even Lord Chaitanya, when he's visiting Jagannath, he'd be behind, by the Garuda Stamba, you know, and even that one Mataji was enthusiastic, climbed up on his shoulders, I can imagine. So there's always some emotion, commotion, and difficulties, but also our determination should be such that we can have to, you know, maneuver, and the Lord will give his blessings. What can I say? He appreciated her enthusiasm, for sure. Yes. Yes, Mata.
Back to the topic of prayer and blessings. One time, Prabhupada was, one devotee was asking him for his blessing. I think, was he going on a mission to open a temple or something? And Prabhupada gave his blessing, and then he said, now all of you, the rest of his disciples, you give your blessings too. And they said, well, what is the use of ours? You've already given, you know. But he says, no, this is very important. You must give too. Mm-hmm. And blessings help others or help one to go beyond the limitations that their karma dictates. So it is like he was saying, yasyat prasada, bhagavat prasada, only by the mercy of the Vaishnavas.
Yeah.
So when embarking on any, what to speak of, significant events in one's life, one must seek the blessings of the Vaishnavas.
When Gopal Krishna Maharaj in 2009 again asked me to take management, I went to Govardhan, and many sannyasis were there, also Vaisheshika and many others. I said, what do you think, should I do this? And they said, yes, you should definitely do it. I said, I was seeking the blessings of the devotees to get the approval. So, and that's what everyone does who comes, that when they see a saintly person, they want to get their blessings because they know that they're representing the Lord and the Lord is giving blessings. So we should all pray for the blessings of the Vaishnavas so that we can also make advancement in our spiritual lives. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Blessings. Come, Jai. Help me up. I have a hard time getting off this low seat. They keep everyone humble in these vyasasana.